Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bikini and the Brain podcast. We're so happy to have you join us today in our conversation. I'm here with Adam Bonilla, TeamElitePhysique.com, and my name is Ashley Kaltwasser. Ashley, keep it. Hello. How was your weekend, Adam?
I'm very, very excited. And I think I'm going to be doing a lot more content pretty soon too, which I'm really excited about because I'm going to have more time finally. So I moved almost all my stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm moving the full move on Friday with all my stuff, and I'll be living four houses down from the prep center.
That's the dream.
Four
houses down and wear slippers to work.
Yeah.
As you're doing now.
As I'm doing now. Yeah. So I've been kind of light on it on content because I've been dealing with all these contractors. Mm-hmm. We have, like, right now is three separate sets of contractors at the house finishing up the remodel, and then we're moving. And so so I'm super excited to, like, ease my life up, and I'm just going to be just going to shows and doing content and being like, I'm probably gonna have too much time, but I'm not gonna do anything crazy. I already told you I have no way of doing anything crazy anymore. So like, in terms of, like, getting a building or doing a remodel, like, everything's done. So now I'm just like, I'm just excited to jump into this. So that was my week. About yours, Ashley?
It's good. I did a workshop in Utah, so that was fun. I've been doing a lot of seminars and workshops this year, and I have more to come as well. But so I was busy doing that. But I like to do those on the weekends that I don't compete, because it's kind of like motivating for me, and I get to meet some competitors, so it's a lot of fun. So yeah, it's a good little trip.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. Yeah, I saw a lot of people have a lot of pictures of you and posting things of you over the weekend. I think people get a lot out of that. And if you guys haven't been to any of these workshops and you're in bikini, like, you will learn a lot from these workshops. The judges talk about what they're looking for. They go over, you can answer questions, and they dispel some myths and things like that in bikini. And it's just a really nice, like, it's just really good to understand where you're at. So we have our posing workshops all the time. And we also had, this weekend was busy too, because I didn't even tell you about that. We have five athletes in town from that flew in for Vegas. So I was doing a lot of posing with them in between the movements, stuff like that. A lot of posing with them, a lot of different things with them, and I'm checking their physique. So it was actual busy too. So so it was fun though. Yeah,
good stuff. For all you Hawaii athletes, just so you know, I will be coming to Hawaii for a few day workshop, a big one, in mid-August. So I have it on my story frequently. So if you are interested, just check out the details there. But mid-August workshop. So Hawaii. Yay.
Yeah, Hawaii's dope. I love that place, man. I can't wait to go back to Hawaii again. Yeah. Japan was my favorite place to go to, but Hawaii's probably close second. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It's funny is I didn't really, the beach thing is, like, whatever to me, because I grew up in California, but the people in Hawaii is what I love. Mm-hmm. Probably my favorite, like, just place to go to in terms of people. That's probably my favorite people place. Yeah. So
my favorite people place is Canada.
Oh, Canada's close. They're so really nice to us. That's true. Canada's really nice. Japan would probably be it too. It's just the language barrier. Like, they're really nice, but I just can't understand, you know. All right. So what do we got on the podcast for today, Ashley?
Well, let's talk about conquering those goals. They're very important to conquer the goals. We got to have some direction here in life. So I thought this would be a great topic to talk about, because everyone needs a little motivation, a little reminder of their why, as you say, every once in a while. So let's talk a little bit about goal setting this morning and really get into it. So setting goals, like I mentioned, very important, because without the goals, it's just kind of like you're working towards what? It can be very motivating to have a certain goal in mind, so you don't feel like you're just willy-nilly. What am I training for? What am I doing all this for?
Yeah, I think it's very important to have those goals, because otherwise you're just kind of doing it.
Yes.
You know, you're just kind of, and I found
going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even as an athlete, I find as a coach, I find that athletes just do better in the gym when they have a goal, a time-based deadline. You know, I always say there's two places where people really stick to it the most. And one is their first prep. And then the other one is, like, a wedding prep. Like, those two are, like, the ones where I know people are going to stick to it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the important ones as people progress to the national, their first nationals prep, their first pro prep. Like, you know, those are the times where they're, like, so diligent. And I'm like, why are they more diligent on those than other ones? And it's because they have that goal means more to them, right? Mm-hmm. At that time. So, finding a goal, I think making a goal that's hard but achievable, where you're forced to do your best that's important to you.
Absolutely is
going to be part of it. Yeah. And I, you know, you have your goals and they change all the time, which is awesome. You know, you have a pretty big one right now,
yes,
which is a crazy goal. It's a crazy, crazy goal. I have my goals that are years out, and I have my short-term goals too, you know?
Absolutely. So, I think it's kind of important to define the goals and what they are and why do they matter. So it doesn't necessarily have to be super specific to the day, like on this date, I'm going to do this exactly. It can kind of be a little variance in range or date exactly, but having like a clear goal in mind is very important, because you kind of can set up your plan accordingly and set up your time accordingly. And just know that there are several different durations of goals. Like you said, short term, there's long term, personal, professional. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just one goal. It can be several. Some of them can be goals for the day, goals for the week, goals for the month, goals for the year, goals for 10 years ahead. Now, I personally hate the thought of making like huge goals very, very far ahead, because in my mind, I'm just like, I'm kind of living for the moment and just seeing where life takes me. So when people ask me like, what are your goals 10 years from now? It's hard for me to answer that, because I actually don't have like a clear, I'm going to specifically do this. All I know is whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to be awesome at it. But I guess it's kind of difficult for me to define that, because I'm just living in the moment, I guess. And I think, you know, even 10 years ago, I wouldn't have pictured myself in this position now. So it's hard for me to also do that 10 years from now, to like think of where I would be. I'm just kind of living in the moment, and I try not to like overthink it, because I'm in a really happy time of my life. So with that being said, I definitely don't plan on like, how do I say, like falling off or anything like that, of course. But I do know that the lessons and knowledge that I've accumulated over the years is definitely going to help me with whatever my long-term goal is. But as far as like short-term, I would say my year goal is to get to 50 wins. So I'm 6 wins away from that. That's like my year goal. And as far as like a, you know, month to month or week to week, day to day, I think for now, day to day is just like, okay, I conquered the day. I did everything I could to better myself and to be efficient, and I made the most of my time. That would be more like a day goal. A week goal is like, I guess, more like to see the progress or the benefits of those days accumulated. And then month goal, you know, is just to be the best I can at my competition. So that's more of a month-to-month one, to see improvements between shows, to see I fix things that were an issue before, or I made an improvement here, or whatever the case may be.
I like that. That was really well put, Ashley. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see that you're still, even at this point, you're still setting those goals, and you're still really driven on those goals, which I think is the hardest thing for people. But I also think that people don't stay motivated on their goals, or they don't stay driven on those goals, because they set the goals way too high.
Yes.
And it's like, just like you said, like if you set a 10-year goal from now, how are you, I mean, how many days till then are you going to, you know, really focus on that? It's just such a huge goal, right? 10 years from now, and we don't know what's going to happen there. So it's just hard to stay focused on it. So I like that you're setting day by day, you know, month by month, by the end of the month, and how much closer you're going to get. And your yearly goal, it is aggressive yearly goal, but it's still realistic too.
Right.
You know? So, so yeah, no, I like that. I like that you kind of go into that. So
How about you? What's your day-to-day, month-to-month, week-to-week kind of goals look like?
So my day-to-day goals are pretty similar, and it's to be highly efficient for short periods of time. That's my thing. I've found that I can be really, really great for short periods of time. And that's something that even like Jordan Peterson would talk about, like the efficiency, like the highly efficient people that are like doing big things, they're usually only really, really good and really, really efficient and 100% for like 4 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. So I find I always try to stick to these windows of, okay, I'm going to be really good at my check-ins. I'm going to be really focused. And when I get this, you know, in this 4 hour window type of thing where I can be my best type of thing. So that's like my daily thing, and to not waste time, because sometimes I waste time. I'll have some check-in days for me. I could be like, you know, 5 hours of a check-in if I'm being really efficient, really focused, and really good. And then some days I'll be here till 9 o'clock at night, and I got here at, you know, 10, And I'm like, how did I end up here? For like, I must have really just been, you know, lollygagging or like watching something in the background or just not focused. And then I'm like, how did that happen? So for me, day to day is like, okay, be focused, be good, and then enjoy your life outside of here.
Right.
Because otherwise I don't like coming to the office and not seeing daylight when I leave. Mm-hmm. That's something that I don't like doing. And I did that a lot before. And I'm older now and I've been doing this a long time. So now I'm like, okay, I want to see daylight. I want my wife to see me. I don't want her to like resent me one day, like the job, you know? So I'm trying to be a good husband too as a goal, as a daily basis. So that's something I always try to do. And I feel bad when I like stay too late. So I'm like, ah, poor Kimber. Like, I mean, she's not like alone waiting for me sad or anything, but it's like, she's at the house doing her check-ins and it's like, you know, I should be better and be home and be more, more focused. That's another goal too, you know, being a good husband. And then, my short-term goal is move into this house down the street so I can be more, I have no distractions here, I guess I should say. I'm good at balancing it up, but it does distract me sometimes because there's a contractor there. I got to meet someone there. I got to meet like three times a day, sometimes people over there. And I took on way too many projects. Like you say, keep yourself not doing that stuff. And I was like, yeah, she's right. I took on, that house was a nightmare. It's been 10 months of nonstop there all day. So to move over there and make my life just easy, that's my next goal, is to really simplify my life. So even, I've tied up any ability for me to, do anything. So sometimes that's a problem with me is that like, assets available, liquid assets available, I'll be like, oh, let's buy a building. I'm always looking at buildings, right? Every time I'm like, oh, this new building came up, I'm gonna go check it out. Cause I can, you know, technically afford it. So, but I tied up all that. So I can't access any of that for a couple of years now. So I have zero ability to do that. So I can just really be focused on it. And sometimes, you know, you need to do things like that because I get a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So everything's tied up and my life is just going to be very simplified. That's my short-term goal, simplify and focus on the most important thing, which is this to me. And the reason is I have long-term goals and I have some extreme long-term goals. Some are short-term, that could be short-term, and some are a little bit longer. One of them is, I would love to see if we can get as close to or get an Olympia title with you. Mm-hmm. That's my short term slant, a big goal. And then my long term goal is I want to get two Olympia titles before I retire. Mm-hmm. Which I'm probably gonna die like as like on like at a show. Like I'm gonna be like 90 years old still going to shows. Like God. there's some promoters, like is it Al Heyman? He's like a promoter. He's like 92 years old. He's still going to these boxing shows overseas. He just loves his job. And it's funny. I see these guys and I'm like, I just like it. I don't know. I don't see myself not going to, I could see me simplifying things like way down, but I just don't. I'm like, I'm just going to be at a show one day, like in a wheelchair. Like it is what it is. Yeah, so I want to get two Olympia champions before I retire. Or I guess because I'm not going to retire, so it's probably before I go. And one, I would like to go from like start to finish, right? Like, so those are like my long-term goals. And then always enjoy and have fun. Like mm-hmm. always never let this turn into work.
Right.
That's the one thing that's really, really important to me. And I feel like if you chase something other than the passion, like you chase money and you chase, I want X clients and X this, like it turns into work. And anytime you blur those lines, you don't put out as good a physique, you don't have as much fun, it turns into work and you just don't like it as much. And it's just, that's not what I ever want to do. These are things, lessons I've learned in life, I think too. Mm-hmm. Like things that, like there's been points where it got close to being like work and I was like, whoa, 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 that's not what this is supposed to be.
Right.
And you have to pull back. So, and it could be like that with competing too. Mm-hmm. People compete and then they say, oh, like, oh, I just really stopped enjoying it. I really, you know, it turned into something ugly. And it's like, whoa, you took it too far type of thing. Like you need to always enjoy it, you know?
Right. That makes sense. You know, something you said a little earlier is making sure that the goals are like realistic and attainable. So I think there is some, I guess, benefits to being one of those people that dream big, right? I think, cause sometimes when you hear people's stories of dreaming so big, it actually does come true. You hear these stories, right? But I don't think that's the case most of the time. And in fact, there's a quote that I have in mind that I absolutely hate because I think it's so like deceiving. It's the quote of like, reach for the moon. And if you fail, you'll land on the stars. No, no. If you reach for the moon and you fail, you're probably going to want to quit. honestly, you're not going to fall on stars. I'm so sorry to break that to you. What usually happens is you reach for a really big goal. You put your all into it, your everything. And then when you don't, you tend to then get discouraged and you might want to quit. So I would say, you know, starting out, it's important to keep those goals very realistic and small. I always think of having the small goals that eventually get a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger until that goal doesn't seem so unrealistic. So, for example, if you are an NPC bikini competitor and you're like, I have competed in two shows and I got first in my height class or whatever, by the end of next year, I want to be Miss Bikini Olympia. Is it possible? Sure. It's possible. Anything's possible. But is it likely? Probably not. I would think that it's probably smarter to think, okay, you know what? I won my class in these last two shows. My next goal is to win the overall. Okay. Then when I win the overall, I'll go to nationals. Next goal, go to nationals, place top five. Next goal, win a pro card at nationals. Next goal, compete as a pro. Get first call out. Next goal, win a pro show.
Yeah.
Next goal, get to the Olympia. Next goal, get top 10 at the Olympia. You see what I'm saying? So instead of thinking like going from zero to 100, I think it's nice to stop along the way and just keep yourself in check, because such big goals, although they sound nice and it's kind of motivating to think that way, when things don't go your way, and you realize, oh, wait, I'm not going to be Miss Olympia by next year because I didn't even get my pro card. You know what I mean? It can kind of be discouraging. And a lot of girls get disappointed. They get discouraged. I think that's why we see a lot of drop off in competitions. It's because there'll be that girl that was always used to winning everything. She was super popular. She's like, my goal, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this. This is my goal, to win the show. And I'm going to be her first show. She doesn't win. She's going to be like, I don't like this. It's political or something. And then she gets discouraged and you don't see her compete again. Even though she might've had a lot of potential there, it's how it is. And people get salty about it. Same thing when they turn pro. You'll see a lot of pros drop off once they compete once as a pro, because they're moving from being a big fish in a small pond to a small fish in a big pond. So allow yourself some grace, especially as you're working up the ranks, and just keep the goals smaller and work towards the larger ones. Now, I use competitions as an example, but this can be applied to like anything in life. You know, it could be something at work. It could be something else. Who knows? But just know that a lot of times people will also kind of push you into wanting to dream big and set those huge goals. And while I think that's nice and fuzzy and it's, oh yeah, it sounds good, it can oftentimes give the opposite effect, that you just feel like a failure when you don't reach that goal off the bat. So that's what I found success with. And that's how I've always planned out my career, is just keeping the goals hard, difficult, challenging, but attainable. Like, there is a possibility that I can do this if I put my all into everything, rather than just, you know, going all out for it. So that's my take on it. I know you're a little more optimistic than me. I like to consider myself a little more realistic. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I would say, I think that you're right, especially in regards to the sport, And in life in general too. You can speed things up a little bit, but you're going to have to, it's going to take some hard work and it's going to take some years to really get there. You know, I had a few people before, they would look at, you know, like our team and look at where it was and the buildings and all that stuff. And they'd be like, you know, how did you do it? And I was like, it took me 13 years to become an overnight success. You know, that's really what it did. So it was like those 13 years as like a trainer and grinding and no one knowing who I was. And then all of a sudden within a couple years, kind of, you know, it was more known, a little bit more known. But it was, they didn't see the what it took those 13 years. You know, they just saw the last 2 years. They're like, oh, I want to do that one day. And I'm like, well, do you really though? Cause it's going to take a lot. You know, it wasn't fast. It kind of happened fast at the end, but it took so many years to get to that end. You know, I think that's what people don't get. And I think the same thing with bikini competing. You know, I was actually I was talking to an inquiry earlier today too. And that inquiry, she was saying, I don't think she was really realistic. You know, she was talking about like, yeah, the judges said I need to improve my glutes and I want to do another show in 8 weeks. And then I'm hoping to go to nationals after that. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. Like, you got 8 weeks to go to your show. You got to work on your glutes. Then you want to go to nationals this year. You didn't win your show. You didn't win top five in your show. How do you think you're going to be doing at nationals cutting into your next show in 8 weeks and then going right to nationals after that? Like, it's not realistic to think you're going to be improved to the point to even qualify for nationals maybe. And so that, you know, if that person goes and they compete in 8 weeks and they didn't make the improvements in the glutes because they're not giving themselves a realistic amount of time and they don't qualify for nationals, maybe they quit, you know, type of thing. So it was good though. I had a good talk with her and she was like, okay, no, I guess I needed to, you know, hear that stuff, whatever. So, I think that setting the goal and understanding what it takes is realistic. That's kind of the important piece that we could talk about is this, what does it actually take, you know, to get there? And how you're explaining it, I like that. Cause you're like, here's the process. You know, do all these little steps to get to the Olympia, but all you ever hear is I want to get to the Olympia. And I'm like, you haven't even competed yet. You competed in a small show, you know?
Yep.
And so, yeah. Or people will be like, you know, as a coach, like, I want to do what you did one day. And I'm like, cool, dude. I started at 16 and working in nutrition stores, you know, like I'm 42.
Right.
it's like a lifetime of work. Just, you know, you'll get there. You got to keep your foot on the gas, you know? So, I think people need to be realistic, and especially in today's bikini, you know, today's bikini is not a, you know, it used to be, you know, I would see someone who was very fit, like at a gym, and they would just be like regular fit. You know, they're like, oh, this girl's got good shape. She's fit. Let's throw her on stage in a few weeks. You know, that type of thing. It's not that way anymore. You know, it's a different thing now. You know, you have to be leaner. You have to be more muscular. It's going to take time. You need more density. So the bikini physique of today to get a pro card for most girls, it's probably going to be like a 4-year, 5-year physique for most people. So which could have before it could have been, you know, a 2-year physique maybe. Now it's really, you know, it's advanced. It's an advanced physique. And you're, you know, you see that also like in the IFBB. Sandy was saying it the other day. She said most of the pros that are doing well, or what did she say? It's talking about, I don't want to misquote her, but she's talking about the pros being like in their 30s plus now.
She said 60% of pro athletes are above the age of 35.
There you go. Thank you. Over 35. Wow. Okay. So that, you know, so if you're just to give you, and that's from Sandy. So if you have, you know, if you're 20 and you're really into the sport, like understand, hey, like it takes time to have that muscle maturity, the density, the fullness, and don't beat yourself up because you know, you're not on the Olympia stage in 2 years by the time you're 23. It's a different thing than it used to be, you know?
And I would say even with that, consider your workout age. So
yeah,
being 22 isn't necessarily the problem. It's that you haven't been lifting for a while. And that the same can be said for somebody that was 35, you know, if they just weren't really an athlete growing up and they're just now getting into it. So the actual age itself is not the problem. It's how long you've been working towards being a bikini competitor. Cause I want to specify that too, because doing yoga 3 times a week for the last 5 years, it's great, you know, for your health, sure. But it's not really going to help you get to where you need to be as far as being a bikini competitor, cause it's a different style of training completely. So, I think that actually the most unrealistic, goals do come from winning a pro card. I would say that's what I hear the most. So know this, not only does it take that much time to build and create the bikini physique, but also keep in mind too, even if it is complete, you're probably going to have to compete in several national shows just to get that pro card, even if you're ready, because I guarantee you there's going to be so many other girls that are also pro card ready. So it's like, you know, who shines the most that day, who he's standing next to. So there is that as well. So even if you're pro card ready, don't think that you're going to get it the first time. And rule of thumb as well, just so everyone has a little bit of guidance with this. Typically rule of thumb is to be, I guess, even competitive at the national level, an overall win usually is that like, okay, you're ready. Now that's not always the case because maybe it's a super competitive show and there might be two possible future pro card winners in a local show and you don't get overall, but you won your class. That might be a thing. So that's not always the case. So I don't want it to say it's a must, but rule of thumb, you're probably not ready for national stage unless you're close to securing an overall title at a regional show. So if you don't secure it close to securing it,
I would agree with that.
Even then, yeah, you might not get a pro card. That doesn't guarantee anything because it, maybe it's a weak regional show.
Yeah. If you're, there's only a couple scenarios where that doesn't work. Yes. It's very rare though. And it's very rare. And it's usually like a regional issue more than it is a go-to kind of set rule. But yeah, it's sometimes I'll hear girls, they'll get like top five and they'll qualify for some of the national shows. I'm like, oh, I qualified. So I'm going to go to nationals. And I'm like, look, if you're getting fifth place out of eight at a state level, like what do you think is going to happen at the national level? Or if you go to like a Arnold or Olympia where it's a world level, right? Like, what do you think is going to happen there? Like you're probably not going to be doing very well there. And it's an unfortunate thing because you're going to invest a lot of money and, yes, and you're going to invest a lot of time. You're going to have a lot of hope. And it's like, hey, like spend your time, work your way up. If you're getting fifth at a state level, you're probably going to get like 25th at a national level. You know, it's just the reality of things.
Even like second place in your class, I would say is still.
Yeah. If it's like a 7-girl class, unless the girl's like winning Miss USA and you're like, clearly he's going to be the winner, you know, it's and that's pretty rare. There's another scenario where that'll come in where you might be that show. It's like a show specific thing, or maybe there was like 6 softer girls in that class and you're a harder girl and you're really, really ready. So you just look really muscular and look really lean for the show. And it wasn't someone like a top tier judge where they couldn't really separate it. You know, if you're in front of a top tier judge and that scenario happens, mm-hmm, you're still going to win. If you're around a judge, maybe it's a small show and it's just the local judge for that day and they haven't been around, they might kind of think you're too muscular in that scenario and think you're too lean. That would be the only time. And even in that scenario, you might want to just, talk to a couple coaches and just double check, mm-hmm, but that's a pretty rare scenario. Usually they're going to be able to pick it just right. So and it's unfortunate if I'm breaking some of your guys' hearts here, but that's just, this is a sport like any other sport. I was talking to someone the other day about it and she was laughing because she was like, yeah, you're right. And I was like, I can't pick up a basketball and just be like, oh yeah, next year I'm just going to go and play with LeBron. I'm going to be dunk on LeBron next year. Like, no, you're not going to do that. Like, you need a lifetime of work to catch up to that guy. Right. So it's a different thing. Cause in bikini, it has its set limit, which it means that it's a great equalizer of sports because there's a point where I like bikini because it suits all physiques, all structures, most structures, I'll say. And it has its equalizer for everyone where there's a limit of how much muscle X girl can build. Therefore, when she has to stop, then you're allowed to catch up, which is bodybuilding doesn't allow that, right? It's pretty rare. They're like, okay, that's it for you on muscle. It's like a couple guys that run into that. Okay, you got enough now. It's always, oh, you can improve this a little. You can improve this a little. So that's what I like about bikini, but just understand, give yourself the time, like Ashley's saying.
You know? Yeah. I think the nationals is where I see a lot of discouragement though. I think the most, because the girls are, you know, it's a big deal to go to one of these pro qualifying shows. So they are all excited about it. And they're used to competing with competitors at the regional level. And maybe they get like third or second or whatever. And then they go to a pro qualifying show, aka a national level show, right? So they'll go there and then just kind of like get a dose of reality. Like, oh, shoot, they're really competitive here because they're just not used to that level of talent. And they might see pictures online, but until you're actually standing next to them, that's when you can really see the difference. So, you know, like you said, take your time. Shows are not going anywhere. If anything, more shows pop up every single year. So don't feel rushed to go and get your pro card because, like you said, nationals, they're expensive. Yeah. they can kind of break your heart a bit because it's just, you know, the pro cards they get out. And I think a lot of people go there because they want a pro card. I would say, like, if you're going to nationals just to have like fun, I would pick another show just to have fun at, because you're probably not going to feel, it's not typically a fun show. It's more pressured. It's more like, okay, down to business here. This is high level competition. So a lot of times girls can get discouraged because of that. So I see a lot of drop off, and even whenever you prompt them and be like, you know, just, you know, it's going to be tough and don't assume anything with the pro card. And, you know, that's when they afterwards are like, you know, down in the dumps, but yeah. It is what it is. That's my suggestion, is if you're going to nationals, just have fun, or pro qualifier, just have fun. I would say choose another show that's not as intense, and just, you know, work your way to being that national level competitor, that, you know, get that overall title and then get that confidence that you need for the nationals.
I would agree with that entirely. You know, some of the shows that you could do, and if you're, let's say you're in that position where you want to go to a big show and you want to have fun and you want to do it for the experience, I would actually 100% agree with you. I could say quite a few occasions where someone said they were going to nationals. I would tell them, hey, you know what? I think it's going to take you another year, whatever. Well, I want to go and get the experience. And I'm like, the experience isn't like, it seems like it's more in your head. Like it's going to be this big glamorous thing and you're at a national stage and, you know, you're in front of Sandy and Tyler and, you know, Tamer and Tarek and all these judges. And you're like, it's going to be so, but once you get in that, you know, second to last call out or that last call out, everything changes. You know, it's not a good feeling when you're getting off that stage and you're like, oh, I wanted the experience. And I'm like, no one wants the experience of a last call out. Like no one wants to feel like they're not good enough. You know, I've never had it where someone was like, yeah, I got, you know, I didn't do good at that national show because like you told me, I wasn't ready. And I loved the experience. It was a great feeling, you know, like it's not a good feeling that. So I would say work your way up. And if you know you're not ready, but you want to do something for the experience, look at one of these shows that are more of like an expo show, that are maybe a funner, like a big expo show, and they have expos, like a big thing with it. You know, maybe try a travel show, you know, go to a travel show in Vegas or something and have fun while you're out here. You know, that's
vacation and competition one.
Yeah. That's a fun experience. You know, even if you get top five in a Vegas show, you know, competition is good in Vegas. You get top five in a Vegas show. And then after that, you're with your boyfriend or your friends and you go out and you have fun at the, you know, downtown or whatever, you know? So, that could be a really fun show experience. I use that still, even with you, I still use that. I go to shows and I'm like, oh, cool. This will be a cool like vacation show for me. Ashley's going to Japan. I'm down to go to Japan. And then I'm going to spend 2 days there and like go to a whatever, you know, or a show that Kimber's going to. I'm like, oh, cool. We can go on like a little date after that on Sunday. We can go to this place in a cool gym. Like I try to gym hunt. You know me, I like gyms. I'm a gym connoisseur. Ashley's a simple with gym. She's like Planet Fitness, I'm cool, which I did get my Planet Fitness membership. It was funny. I spent my 42nd birthday in a Planet Fitness. And I was like, yep. Still here. like I've come all the way to Planet Fitness. But so, you know, I like going to different gyms at different locations. So make it where it's like a fun thing. And then when you're ready to strike, you know, and your coach is being honest with you, you know, go get it, you know, go strike. And that's a good feeling when you kind of graduated where like, hey, I got the green light. I'm not doing it for the experience. My coach says I'm here to be competitive. That's right. A cool thing. And even when you are competitive, guys, even when you're competitive, it might take you a ton of times.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the record. I wonder who knows this. There was a guy at North Americans. I was there and I think it was 20. I was there with Austin. So it might've been like 2016, 2017. And he got his pro card there and everyone was like so happy for him. It was so crazy. I was like, man, everyone's happy for this guy. Like I didn't know who he was. It was a men's physique guy. He's competed a whole bunch of times. And like the whole place was like cheering for him, which there was a backstory to it, which I didn't know. I want to say it was either 41 or 44 times he competed at nationals. Oh, wow. Years it took him. Jeez. Years it took him. But he was always really competitive. He was always like top five, top eight, right. Top four. Like there was no reason why he shouldn't have got it at this point. And he's always just one off, like always one off, two off, three. And so, and then Austin told me the story. He was like, yeah, it was 40 something times, whatever it was. And I was like, that's crazy that he even that's stuck crazy. With it. Good for him. I wonder where he's at. I gotta ask Austin. He'll tell me, he'll remember because he knew the guy. But that might even be, that's the most I've seen bikini. I've seen in the teens from girls who were good. They were ready to go, you know?
Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's like I said, anybody's day on any given day. And as you go to these national shows, pro qualifying shows, it's important to have that, like, hey, I know I'm when you are competitive and you know you're like, okay, I'm finally like pro qualifier ready. Even then, just know going in, like, it might take me a few times. Okay. So I would say, like, safely, like, if you're in first call out or top five, I would say keep going with it because you're in the mix. Okay. So if you're in the mix, I would say that's maybe you can do a few more of those national shows throughout the year and try for it. But I would say if you're not even in the mix, you need to shut it down and work on those improvements, because although like I said, it can be anyone's day on any given day, there is something to be said that, like, okay, there is a clear differentiation of, like, the first call outs, then, you know, the girls towards the last that maybe went for that experience. So just know that it might take you a handful of times, two handfuls of times, even if you're ready. Just be realistic about this, but just keep pushing if you're in that mix.
Yeah, 100% on that. And it makes it that much more rewarding too, you know, so sticking with it. But yeah, just understand, guys, for most of you, it's going to take a lot of times going. It is what it is, you know?
Absolutely. So, and also you need to prepare for the obstacles. Cause I promise you as well, like through prep, through competing, there's going to be obstacles in your way. Nothing's ever like perfectly laid out, smooth sailing. So of course with, attempting to achieve goals, there's going to be road bumps. There's always road bumps, you know, like in whether in prep or otherwise. Just know that we all deal with it. And anybody who's went after goals, they're dealing with it too.
Yeah. And self-doubt. Self-doubt will creep in too, you know, with those obstacles. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's putting a lot of pressure on your life and you're not balancing it so well. There's going to be things that come up, and that's with everything you do, whether it's like, for example, like coaching, like I coach, and that's the funnest job in the world. And even that has its problems, right? I travel a lot. I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not as attentive because I'm focused on an Olympia or something like that. Like there's always, you always have, everything's going to have its issues, and you just have to learn how to deal with them better and manage them better. But getting a pro card is not designed to be easy. It's not designed to be like a health and fitness type of thing. And I think sometimes people think that they're like, oh yeah, it's just like, you know, I'm just health and fitness. No, it's an extreme sport. Competing is not like, it is an extreme sport. Just like any other sport, you're going to tax your body on it, you know? So you know, just got to be prepared for that. And you also have to be, you know, realistic about this thing too, but you are going to have those things happen. You're going to have an injury. You're hopefully not, but you might, you know, our sport, luckily you don't get too many injuries. That these things are happen, you know, you might have to take 6 months off, but it won't be the end of the world. You just stay focused on your goals, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes the winners aren't the ones that just breezed through prep and breezed through all the shows with wins. Sometimes the most successful competitors you see today were once those 16th placers at a local show. And then they became 16th placers at a pro show. And then even at the Olympia, when they make it 16th place, but then you'll see they have a breakout year and everything finally comes together. And they do much better. So just know that every Olympia champion you've ever seen, we've all lost at some point. Okay. No one has an undefeated season ever. It's unheard of. Not a thing. Okay. Is it possible? I suppose. Have yet to see it. But that's to say all those girls dealt with setbacks, dealt with hurdles, dealt with discouragement, but they kept pushing. They didn't quit. That's the key. With every discouragement, with every disappointment, maybe a show doesn't go your way, you're going to learn from it. And it's important to absorb that knowledge and to apply it to the next show so you don't do it again, or you fix something, or you make that improvement. In order to succeed in this sport, you have to take that feedback and apply it. You can't take that feedback and just throw it away. You got to be honest with yourself too, because I see it, like your friends and your family will be like, you should have won. You should have won. You're perfect. Yeah. That's what everyone's mom saying. Okay. I promise you every competitor's mom is saying, you should have won. You looked perfect. Don't let that get to your head. Okay. The world isn't out to get you. There's a reason why you didn't win. Okay. And your mom might be sweet lady, but she's not a judge. And especially with today's bikini, you have to have that eye for it. You have to be very immersed in the culture of bikini to even know what to look for. Cause I can totally understand, even from somebody that somewhat observes bikini, they think they might know what the judges are wanting, but that's not the case. So it's important to really have that eye for it. And your mom and your family doesn't, and your boyfriend doesn't. So you can just say, you know, thank you for that positive message there, but I do have work to do to become a winner. So just know that, like I said, in summary, it's sometimes not about the superstars that were just winning from the jump. Oftentimes it's the competitors that maybe weren't the greatest at first, but you know what? They made improvements with each and every show, and they learned from every mistake. And everyone's going to make mistakes. I still make mistakes too. Try to make less of them, but just know that along the way, there's going to be some setbacks, some rough patches, some hurdles you got to overcome.
Yeah, I like that. Very, very well said. You know, and before we move on to the next topic, what I wanted to do is go into just a couple of just the questions that are coming in. Thank you guys for asking those questions. We'll get to them every now and then throughout, but there's a couple kind of that pertain to this. One of them was here. It said, so does a pro qualifier equal national?
Yes.
If you get first overall, you aren't given a pro card unless it's a national show. That is correct. I'm not sure what shows are national shows.
You have to look that up online.
Yeah. So go to,
because it's not like we can be like, oh yeah, here's the list of 25 national shows off the bat. I memorize it. Yeah. That's something you got to look up.
there's going to be, so some shows are just national, like called national shows, junior national, junior USAs, nationals.
But they're
USAs,
pro qualifiers.
They're pro qualifiers. And then there's some shows that really aren't called national shows.
They might be overseas, but they're pro qualifiers.
Exactly. So like all the Olympia amateurs are pro qualifiers. You'll have some Arnolds that are pro qualifiers, and then you'll have some shows too that are just that are pro qualifiers too, like the Ben Weider is a pro qualifier in Canada.
And so tons overseas.
Yeah. So just look up what are pro qualifiers. It doesn't need to say national pro qualifier.
NPCnewsonline.com.
Yep. And you get a lot of, I mean, honestly, like most of our information we get is from all my reviews I do. It's from the pictures of NPC News Online. So those types of things. So yeah, and this is actually a good comment from Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. She says, sometimes your current best just isn't good enough yet for the national level.
Yes.
Right?
And then she specified yes.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it won't be with some time, but you got to be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be patient.
I've had pro athletes where that, I think that's an important thing to discuss, you know, and I've had, and I even have one right now who's competing, and I told her, hey, like we haven't missed yet. Like if I missed, then cool, we can make improvements, but we haven't missed. Like you've been on point at your shows. You're not going to be fuller. You're not going to be leaner. The judges said nothing about your fullness, your conditioning, anything. They just said, you're not there yet. Your density's not there. You need a little bit more, whatever. Right. And so do you want to keep competing right now? Cool. But just understand we haven't missed yet. Like we haven't missed, you know? So if you're in that scenario where, hey, you're maxed out with your current physique and it's just not there yet, then it is what it is. You can, you know, if you want to have fun and do a couple shows that are like more kind of for fun and just to do it, great. But understand you're going to have to back to the drawing board. You're going to have to make those improvements, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're bad or anything. It's just, you're just not there yet. Right. And so, I can be happy because I'm like, hey, you're just not there yet, you know, but we didn't miss. That's what's important. As long as you bring your best physique, and there's, you know, there's not room for improvement at that point in terms of what you can currently bring. You're currently at 100% and that's not enough yet. Cool. At least you did it. And you know that for sure. That's what I think a lot of people have that issue with. They're like, oh, the judge said I did this. I need this. I need a new coach because you were as good as any coach could make you at that point. So understand that part of it too, because that happens a lot. I get it all the time from girls that are from different coaches or whatever. And they'll email me. Oh, and they said, you know, and I'm like, you actually looked pretty good. Like, what else are you expecting from me at this point? Because when I'm looking at you, if you want to compete again in 6 weeks, I don't see you being, you know, super flat. I don't see you being super stringy. I don't see you being super too lean. Maybe your posing we can tweak a little bit, that type of thing, but I don't see a huge improvement available to you in the next 6 weeks. So I don't think it's a coaching. I think you're just maxed out with your current physique. So you have to be like, okay, am I in that situation right now where I actually did bring really close to my best and I'm maxed out and I just need more time? Because that's a thing, guys. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And they just like, they'll coach jump or whatever too. And hey, I'm actually a beneficiary of this. Like people email me all the time when they start, like they'll start leveling up And then they'll be like, okay, now I got to go with someone who's more experienced. So I'm a beneficiary of this. So I'm not saying like, this is not in my benefit to tell you to do this, but sometimes you're just maxed out. You just need time. You know, sometimes that's, it is what it is. So, so just be patient. You know, that's another thing, just having the patience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a really good question that Mia just asked here. So let's put that on the screen. I love this question. So what she's asking, what sparks your guys' eyes when it comes to a bikini competitor that is pro worthy and ready for a national show? Ooh. Well, like we previously mentioned, maybe she missed it, but typically if you win an overall title at a regional show or a local show, typically means you would be competitive, usually not all the time. But as far as like, maybe we can answer this question in a way that, like, let's say you see a girl with a lot of potential physically. What is it about her physique that's, you're like, you know what? I think you can make some waves here in the sport.
Sometimes someone just stands out, you know, and it's, and it, I'm going to do a video pretty soon here talking about like the differences of physiques in bikini. Cause I think there is right now, we're going through another confusion year, which we happens all the time. Sometimes a girl just stands out and it's hard to explain, you know, it's just like, oh, that girl is good. That girl is like, her lines are good. So what I look for is the flow of the physique, right? So the shoulder width, the ratio. So the shoulder to waist to hip ratio, the way the skin, like the texture of the skin and how it hits the light, the fullness of the glutes. Does she have 3D glutes where her hips are wider than her waistline? The tie-ins, are they there? Like these types of things. The roundness of the muscle. Is it grainy muscle? Is it round, pretty muscle? Like there's just certain things, and you could usually see it when they're somewhat developed, not even fully developed. You can kind of start seeing, oh, that girl's going to be good. Like when she's like maybe 60% of her potential, you start seeing it and you're like, oh, she glows, right? That girl just glows. And you could just start seeing, you know, you see it when you do as many, you know, it's all I do all day long is bikini. So when you sometimes you just pick it up and you're like, that's my next killer right there, you know? And I think that people automatically think it's just muscle that makes them better. It's not always that, you know, that's not always just muscle. Sometimes it's, you know, it's sometimes it's, it could be opposing things. Sometimes it's just your ratios make you really good. So I think that it's a hard thing to really put into perspective, like, or put it on paper for bikini, because it's so many different things. I mean, you could look at the top 10 in bikini and you'll see like 7 different structures in the top 10 of bikini. Like they're so significantly different. And so, that's the thing about bikini is like certain girls just glow, you know, it's just, they have that X factor. And so
I would look at it in a different way. So I wouldn't really look for a glow, especially if they're maybe off season or whatever, but I would look more for like, are there any deal breakers and how many negatives does this physique have? So I'm looking at like, oh man, she got a wide waist. That's going to be really hard to work around. Or, oh, I see her fat distribution is very uneven. That's going to be really hard to combat. So, you know, everyone has genetic limitations and some people just won't be able to succeed as easily in the sport as others, right? Because we all have, no one's perfect. Just so you know, no one's perfect. We all have flaws, but some flaws are really, really hard to get past that regional level to go on to nationals and further than that. There are some things that hinder that. And unfortunately, you know, in the sport, there's things we can't change. You can build muscle, you can get leaner, but structurally and physiologically, there are things that you can't change. And sometimes those things are too great to overcome to get to that next level.
Yeah, I do have that. I will have that conversation too. So that, I guess what I would say is things I was looking for to where someone looks like they could be the next pro, but then there's also the things, like you said, the things that'll keep them. And yes, that's a tough one. And I do have those real assessments sometimes, and they're tough. They're tough to like talk about because someone will ask me, you know, is there anything on my physique that'll kind of prohibit me to getting that pro card or to make it really difficult for getting that pro card. And then I'll tell them, hey, these are your weaknesses. Maybe you have a more narrow clavicle base. Some of these girls have like a real narrow clavicle base with a more like angled, like you see them, they kind of, angled trap where it's like a diamond up top and it's like too narrow of a clavicle base to really get that shoulder width. And you know, you're competing against someone like a Janet Leigh with these wide shoulders and these like straight shoulders at top. You're going to look narrow next to her, no matter how big your shoulders get. So that's an issue that, you know, some people are like, hey, you have these limitations or a wide waist or hips that are too narrow, things like that.
That distribution
is a tough one. That's a tough one. I've had that I've had that at a pro level a couple times where you could get a girl pro card, right? But then when you get that pro card, you're like, yeah, that's probably it. That's probably it for you, because your body fat distribution from your lower, like I've had it where the lower body was so tight. In order to get the upper body right, the lower body had to be so tight that it was too much. And you soften up the lower body, and then the upper body gets real soft. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I can't, there's just nothing distribution wise we can really fix with this. And then it's just, that's kind of, she reached her limit type of thing. So Right. Yeah, it is tough when you run into these things, guys, but you got to remember we're in a sport where it's tough. I think it's tough, our sport, because it's about the body, and it's like saying your body isn't good enough. It's tough.
But at the same time, if we're all adults here, we got to realize we're going to be built for certain things and not built for others. Like for example, I'd be too tall to be a professional gymnast.
Yeah. I'm too short to be a basketball player.
You know what
player.
I mean? Yeah. Like gymnasts are super, super short and compact. And although I'm not super tall, I'm 5'5.5". I think there was like the tallest gymnast ever was like 5'5", which was, she was like an oddity. But anyway, that's just one example. There's so many others. Like there's just some things that you're going to excel at and others that you're not. And if this isn't your thing, that's okay. And if you're just doing this casually, that's fine too. Have fun. Bucket list. Yeah. Just be realistic with the expectations and where your limits lie with your own personal physique.
Yeah. 100%. I like that. And I think I have a lot of fun with people who are just doing transformations or first times on stage and whatnot. And I have a really good time with it, because it's a fun thing. You know, I like both of them. Both of them are fun. The hard one is challenging for me, because it makes me be my best, absolute best. And then the fun ones where you're like balancing it out and they're having fun. It's just a fun ride, you know, and it's cool to see both. So Yeah, I have fun with that. So any of these other questions for
the one at the bottom, I would like to get to that one. So this one's a little bit off topic, but I kind of like it. So it says, question, do you recommend do you recommend decreasing weight during the cut phase compared to off season, or keep it the same? I would say, why would you want to decrease it? what are we trying to do? Cause I mean, for me personally, like you got to keep that weight high. It don't slack off at any point. You know, if you did that while you cut, I mean, I don't see the benefit to that. Maybe they think more reps mean more calorie burns,
that's what it is,
but that doesn't translate like that. I would say just keep pushing hard with heavy weights throughout, because during the cutting phase, people typically will lose some muscle, unfortunately, but you're going to lose more if you're not challenging yourself.
I'm 100. Yeah. That's exactly what I would say too. You got that right? Yeah. No, I would, here's the thing. When we talk about energy too, cause I think that's what the logic is that, and it's kind of you'll hear that in the gym sometimes, and kind of some like old school guys will say, yeah, you increase your reps cause you're going to burn more calories, or you're not really increasing your calories by that much. Just cause you're moving your arms an extra, 12 inches, isn't going to really change the thing. You got to understand, the way that energy is, whether you're lifting 100 pounds 10 times or 10 pounds 100 times, you're still like the net weight that you're lifting. The force is different between both. So the energy expended is going to be similar, you know? So the duration would be the only difference of that. Obviously, if you did 100 reps, it's going to take you longer. You'll burn more calories during longer than shorter, but in terms of actual energy needed to lift a load, it's going to be very similar. If you divided all the weight by the reps type of thing, by effort base. So, it takes a lot of energy to lift 100 pounds, doesn't take a lot of energy to lift 10 pounds, but it takes more energy to lift 10 pounds for 10 minutes than it does to lift 100 pounds for 1 minute. So like in the end, they're all very similar. So it's not going to be a big difference. The biggest difference is going to be, are you lifting hard enough to create a stimulus to maintain muscle while dieting hard? And I would, if you're going to the 100 rep type range, that's not a very big stimulus to keep muscle. Your body could probably afford to lose a little bit of strength in that scenario. And when you're dieting, the most important thing is that you keep your muscle. And the way that you do that is you lift heavy in the gym, you lift the same in the gym at least, or maybe more. You don't decrease the effort in the gym in terms of reps and weights and stuff like that. And that'd be like the worst time to do it.
The only exception would be maybe if your coach has you on peak week, just pump reps. That will decrease inflammation, but that's like a 1 week thing, if any. Yeah. So that's another common thing, but that has a different purpose. But I don't think it would be a good idea just to go light throughout. Yeah. Just like, oh, we're starting to cut. Now I gotta to lighten the weight, increase my reps. It doesn't really work like that. Just maybe if anything, that last week. I want to get into Carrie's question. Carrie had a good one. She said, what is one thing you think about that keeps you
this one? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I highlighted it.
One thing what is the thing that you think about that keeps you staying on track to reach your goals? I have always had a problem getting in my head with self-doubts. My friends and family don't understand. Sorry, that camera's in the way. So I like this question because this is a very common thing. So especially when your surroundings aren't like on the same page as you, you know, that doesn't help. But just know that being motivated is temporary. Motivation comes and goes. Willpower and dedication are much longer lasting. So if you ever have like a weak day where you just feel blah, you just don't feel focused, you feel not as motivated, just know that that's a very common thing. I'm not motivated 365 days a year, but I'm dedicated. So even if I'm not motivated, I still go to the gym. And also if you're in that headspace, I think another helpful thing is to just to remind yourself of what we're working towards. What is the goal? And is that temporary inconvenience of you dieting for this day or having to go work out this temporary inconvenience, does avoiding that contribute to the big goal? Or when you get close to reaching that big goal and you don't, are you going to think, wow, I should have just sucked it up and trained, you know? Because not every day is going to be great. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days you're tired, you're cranky, you're unmotivated. You just don't want to be there, but you got to push through. Just think of the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I would say too, you said your friends and family don't understand. Here's the thing. Like I actually wanted to do a video on it one time. And it was a boxing coach. He was talking about this. And it was like, he was like, if you talk to any kid in a boxing gym or any, even outside of one, and you ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? All the kids, every one of them is going to say, I want to be world champion. And with 100% certainty, everyone that hears them just thinks of that as like, okay, you know, sure, kid. And they just, you know, they fluff them like, yeah, of course, you know, whatever. But in their head, they're thinking there's no, you know, no one really thinks that one of these kids is going to do it. One of these kids is really going to be world champion, you know? But here's the thing. Someone has to be world champion, right? Someone has to do it. So, you know, that's the thing. People are always going to doubt your goals because they're different than what their life is. They don't see that you're doing stuff to actually accomplish that, you know? So when someone tells me that they want to be the next Miss Olympia or something, like I always think maybe she will be, you know, I'm going to treat it like that's the case. Like she's going to give the effort that she really wants to be and we'll see where she ends up. But the thing is no one's ever going to, when you have these big, crazy goals, like people just don't think because they're living their normal life where it's not like, let's say Ashley, for example, when she started, she wasn't the type that would do this, but let's say she was, and she said, I want to get to 50 pro wins one day. And she was an amateur. Who out there would have actually not looked at you like you're like, sure, Ashley. Okay. Like I would have probably been like, that's because no one's even close to it ever. I would have been like, okay. Right. Like I would have been like, okay. So that's the thing. But if you constantly hold on to that greatness and you're like, I'm going to be great one day and I'm going to push myself, you just need to understand that along the way, people are just not going to believe that these are your goals. Like that's not realistic for you. It is what it is. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's why most people are average. Most people are living average lives because they're not doing things to make themselves better. They're not doing things to make themselves uncomfortable and to reach to the next level. It is uncomfortable to be great at anything. Even just at a coaching level, it is extremely hard to get to like the position that we're in terms of our team. It took years, decades, you know, it's not an easy thing. And I told someone I want to be the best coach one day, like, you know, that was a real goal of mine for years and years and years. And every, you know, people, you could see what they think, like, you know, okay. Like, it's just, you see it and you can't let that seed plant and let it grow because you just got to hold on to that goal and water it every day, you know? And, but as long as you believe in it, and people aren't saying that, you know, they don't understand it, whatever. Like, it's fine if they don't understand it. It's fine if it's crazy to them, as long as it means something to you, you know? Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. I'll take myself for example, because you mentioned my 50 win goal. I would have never thought that would have even been possible, like when I first started to compete, because see, I've always been realistic with my goals throughout. Even now, I'm still very realistic. But I think that's what's helped keep me stay around for so long, because I got a realistic view on my abilities and how long it takes to get there. Honestly, I do think that's how I've been able to manage just to keep competing, because I'm very realistic.
And your cockroach genetics.
Yeah. And even going into a regular pro show, I never have that expectation I'm going to win. I have more of the expectation of like, you know what? I have done everything in my power to be the best I can be. I'm confident about the package I'm bringing, but let's see what happens. And I think just having that realistic goal makes it a little more manageable. Because if I were to win, it's like icing on the cake. Hey, I wasn't like assuming I was going to win. I wasn't expecting. So that keeps it exciting for me. But then again, if I don't win, it's like, well, you know what? I didn't really have that expectation on myself, but there's things that I can do better. So I'm going to learn from it. So I never try to get in that discouraged mindset. Although I'll be honest, it does happen sometime, but I do try to manage that. And to reach the goal of 50 wins, it's funny because when I first turned pro, my goal was just to win one pro show one day and make it to Olympia. And I thought that would be the absolute pinnacle of my career. But as I started to get better with this, I'm like, you know what? This is more possible. And things, my goals kept getting a little bigger and a little bigger. And I didn't even think a 50 wins would be possible until I hit like 40. And I'm like, wait a minute, I could probably get 50 eventually. Let's see if I can do it in 2024. So that's how my mindset kind of got me to where I am now.
Yeah. So with that, anything else we want to close with or any questions?
No, thank you guys for watching. And thank you, Nebbia, for sponsoring this podcast. And we hope to join you again next week, same time, same place.
And we had one question I want to go in just real. It's a real easy one. Someone asked, where did the videos go on this channel? Well, they're under the lives because we're doing them under live. So go to the channel and then go to live and you'll see all of them. So we can do more questions like this. It's a little bit better. So anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.